And I'm going to go one more bold prediction. The Commanders score a defensive or special teams touchdown this weekend.
Oh.
I think a non-offensive touchdown, which is why I have the local 53 hanging 37 on the Carolina Panthers.
Squad, third and nine for Carolina. Dalton on the move. He tried to throw it to his own man. He threw it to the other team. Intercepted by Fowler. And he's going to go. Touchdown, Commanders.
The defensive touchdown, 37 should have been 40. I apologize.
Yeah, what are you doing? Get the score wrong.
I was off by 3 points.
You get it right?
We had a great Friday out in Leesburg.
That was a blast, my
friend.
That
was so fun. Next time we get out there, Jay's coming with us. They'd love Jay out there.
He would have done real well.
He'd eaten some shrimp with us. I know he would have.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk to Jay Gruden in a moment. We are Grant and Danny. Welcome back. Everything is going swimmingly on the football field. There's nothing to worry about there. But there are times in life where our loved ones struggle, especially as they get older. The exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm Kondori and Murad, can help you through that process. Managing health care, financial power of attorney, even securing a guardianship if need be for a family member. Schedule a free consultation with their elder law and estate planning attorneys today. Go to kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. But it is time to welcome Jay Gruden onto the show right now for his weekly appointment with us on The Fan.
On air and on the road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Burt Automotive Group, Ted Burt Ford and Chantilly in Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Ted Burt Chantilly Lincoln, and Ted Burt Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Ted Burt for Life, lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at tedbritt.com.
Jay, how about the Commanders? They won a game by 33 for the first time since you were coaching them back in 2015 when you guys pummeled the Saints at home and Kirk had a perfect quarterback rating. This is becoming commonplace around these parts now. They're 5-2. They're the number one offense in the league in scoring. They're number one in point differential. I think it's time to say they're pretty good.
I think so, and they did it with their backup quarterback, which is equally impressive, if not more impressive. Marcus came in off the bench, was prepared, was ready. They protected him, and he did a great job. And, of course, the defense continues to impress. So, yeah, it was an all-around dominating performance against those Panthers and Andy Dalton.
What's that like in game when your starter goes down at QB and you kind of have to scramble and you want to, like, you know, give the backup a bunch of information, but you also don't want to put too much pressure on him? Walk me through the machinations there when the starter goes down.
That depends on the backup. Marcus is a great backup because he's a veteran guy with a similar skill set to Jade. He can run, so you don't have to really change your game plan. You still have all the zone reads, the quarterback design plays, RPOs. Marcus can do all that, and he's a veteran. He's a pro. So he's a great backup to have in case something happens to Jade, and he proved it Sunday. You know, if you have a young quarterback that's your backup, you're a little bit shaky. You don't know what he's good at. You don't know what he's comfortable with, so you're a little bit more conservative. But I don't think Cliff was conservative at all. He proved that on the drive at the end of the half when they went 8 plays for 92 yards and a touchdown to go 20 to nothing. He just let it hang out, let him roll. And that's the benefit of having a veteran like Marcus.
I was going to say, I mean, not only that drive, but late in the game when they're up by a million, I think it was like, might have already been 37-0. It was 30-0 maybe. I mean, they're throwing it. They're dropping back. And Cliff Kingsbury just kept stepping on the gas pedal. But you could also see he's just operating with so much confidence right now calling plays. You've got your backup quarterback. You're up 20-0. There's 2 minutes to go in the half, and he's going for another, not just field goal, but a touchdown. What's that like when you're in that kind of place where you just feel that good about your guys on the field making you right?
Exactly. It is a great feeling. Sometimes you don't have that feeling because you don't have any linemen that can block. Fortunately, Washington has a very good offensive line. They're playing at a high level now. The addition of Tyler Biadasz has been awesome. Cosby's playing great at the guard. The tackles are protecting. And you feel better as a play caller. Hell, these guys aren't rushing. They're not getting home. They're not hitting the quarterback. So let's just keep dialing them up. What the hell? And that's a great thing to have. Now, if you start, you know, playing against guys like Myles Garrett, some better pass rushers, which already played, he's proved they can block them too. You might taper back a little bit, but this offensive line, Bobby Johnson and these guys are doing a great job.
Yeah, what are you seeing in terms of run blocking? And obviously, having a quarterback as athletic as Jaden Daniels, and I guess Mariota by extension, certainly helps. But it's not just them; the straight runs too. They're thumping people and moving piles, and there's holes there to be had. What are you seeing in this run game that makes it so good?
Yeah, they're versatile in what they do. You know, they have the passes off the runs, the RPOs, the screens off the runs. They, you know, had a good RPO. They hit the Sonat and the flat off the same run look with the guys going back. I mean, they got a really good conceptual run game that is hard to defend because there's so many different levels you have to defend. You have to defend the receivers on the flats, quarterback on the keeper, the run, the power runs on the inside. And Washington is strong enough up front to move people and create holes. And Brian has great vision. Eckler has great vision. These guys are finding holes. But the creativity Anthony Lynn has produced with the run game coordinator and the Bobby Johnson, like I mentioned, and obviously Kingsbury's influence, man, it's a tough offense to stop because you don't know who the hell's got the ball, where it's going. Is the quarterback keeping? Is he handing it? Is he going to throw a flat route, a bubble screen? They got it working on all cylinders right now.
I was just watching some of their film analysis you were just getting to on the Commanders. You mentioned Biadasz already in that answer, but what have you seen from him? It seems like he's the guy that jumps out at you on film, or is there more than just him that pops out?
I love that guy. He's tough. I like his name. I don't even know if I pronounce it right. Biadasz. I like his name. He's tough. He's a catalyst in there, and I love good, tough centers. It makes a big difference. He's communicating, especially when you have a young quarterback and a backup coming in there. Your center has to do a lot of work, but the rest of the guys are feeding off him. You know, I think Cosby's playing really good at guard. I don't think you can give enough credit to what they're doing at tackle. They've gotten a lot better at tackle, too. So all around, they're all playing good. And the addition of Ertz has helped, and the tight end presence has helped in the running game as well. I've mentioned that many, many times. So, yeah, they're all good.
Jay Grid with us here on Grant and Danny. Jay, how would you handle Daniels' injury this week with, you know, respectfully to like a linebacker or a safety or somebody, you know, playing with some discomfort? That's not that big a deal to me. But franchise quarterback, different story, at least the way I would do it. But again, I'm not qualified to do anything other than maybe talk to you. But how would you handle it as a head coach here in terms of Daniels coming back?
Yeah, you got to really be in close communication with the trainers. What's the long-term deal if he gets hit again? How's Jaden feeling? What's his flexibility like? Can he get the torque on it necessary to throw the deep ball and the deep outs and all that stuff if he's having discomfort? Discomfort's one thing, but lack of flexibility is another. If he can't make the throws that he can't, he shouldn't play. But if he can play with a little bit of pain and he still has the flexibility to rip it down the field, and you know what the hell, if it's just a rib, you got lots of ribs, you'll be all right.
If he is, say, 90% or so, do you play him, or does he have to be 100 because you're 5-2, it's not a division game, yada, yada, yada?
I think it depends on Jaden. You know, obviously Mariota will be ready to go, and you probably have to dress three-quarter. I don't know how the third-quarter quarterback thing works anymore, but I'd be talking to Jaden. If Jaden feels like he can go and then keep an eye on him early in the game, I'd probably limit some of the quarterback design runs and the zone reads and stuff like that, although that's what makes him very good. But he'll know how to protect himself. He probably won't break any tackles or anything like that. But I'd leave it up to Jaden and the trainer. The trainer says, hey, he's not risking anything long-term. He's just going to play with some discomfort. Jaden says, I can do it. I'd let him go for a series or two, see how he feels. If he's ripping it, then let him roll. If he's struggling, then I'd probably pull him and make sure give him another week to heal.
So that's interesting, because that's actually where I was going next, and you kind of answered this. But I said to Danny earlier in the show, if Cliff Kingsbury has to tear any pages or concepts off of his little IHOP chart, or if he has to call anything differently because Daniels isn't quite ready to do something, be it naked's on a 4th-and-1 that they like, or you know, some type of read option or whatever, then I'm not playing him. Like, if he can't be himself, then so be it. It will wait a week. But it sounds like you might be willing to go, let's play in the pocket a little more. Let's not run around as much. Let's be ultra careful and play him. That essentially you would kind of create some new rules this week if need be.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't totally take the handcuffs off him. I would trust the fact that he would know how to protect himself, being that he's, you know, been in the situation before. He's had injuries before in college and missed a few downs here and there. And you can't limit him, his ability to run the ball, because that's what makes him special. So I think if he feels like he can run, he'll have his ribs all padded up and protected, he'll be fine. But if he's sore and he can't throw the ball, it doesn't have the flexibility, then like I said before, you got to play Marcus, because the Bears defense is pretty good. They got guys that can run all over the field. You know, Montez Sweat, we know that. He can track people down. He runs the 4-3. So it's going to be tough to get a lot of quarterback runs anyway against this defense. It'll be more conventional type stuff, I believe, in play actions.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to get to. If it is Mariota against this Bears defense, probably the best they've faced, most complete anyway, over the course of this season, what would you game plan in terms of getting Mariota going, if it had to be Mariota?
Similar, just what they've been doing. They've been so successful through the first 7 weeks of the season, what they do and their ability to do different things out of different formations and create matchup problems in the run game and in the pass game. You just continue to do what you do. I don't think you hold back on Marcus. He proved that he can handle the offense. He's got a good grasp on it. Obviously, you want to feature the run game a little bit more and try to get some powerful runs up the middle like they've been doing and try to keep the defense fresh and get them off the field. But, I just keep everything pretty much the same with Marcus. He's proven he can do it.
Would you expect a Mariota-led offense against the Bears to be able to thrive? They had such a good performance against Carolina post-Daniels injury, but that was Carolina's defense. Now, I wouldn't give them much of a chance for Mariota to shine or for the offense to be really good against that Bears defense. What would be your logic on that or thought on that?
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be a struggle. I think it's going to be a close game. It's going to be a low-scoring game. You have to accept that. Don't turn the ball over. Let Tressway punt and back these guys up, and hopefully Caleb Williams turns the ball over a couple times. And it might be one of those games of 17-13. I don't envision a game where you're scoring 37 or 40 points like you did last week. This is going to be a knockdown, drag-out fight up front. The offensive and defensive line are going to get after it. Who can protect their quarterback better? You know, all the similar stuff. But let's kick field goals, let's punt when we have to, and let's try to force the young quarterback at Chicago, Caleb Williams, into some turnovers, which he is prone to do from time to time.
Jay, I was actually wondering this over the last couple of weeks, and I think now may be a good time to ask you, with maybe them leveling up again in terms of opponent difficulty, at least in when it comes to an offense. How much of your play calling when you were doing it was almost geared towards, yes, I want to win this game, I want to play well here, but also I want to make sure I give a couple looks so that this team I'm playing in a couple of weeks, for example, might have to worry about something, and then maybe that's the time you go against type? Or, you know, how much three-dimensional chess were you playing as a play caller, and how much do you think they're doing?
I think they're doing a lot, and you have to do some. You want to be as off-balance as you can, mm-hmm. personnel-wise, formation-wise, all that stuff. Give different looks. Run similar concepts out of different looks. Big thing we always used to say is, you know, make the same play look different. And, you know, you might run inside zone, but you might run it with a sifter. You might run it with a screen on the backside or flat stick combination on the backside, but still inside zone. You know what I mean? A different RPO with a different formation. It could be with two backs. They did a couple formations with Eckler and Brian Robinson in the formation, and Sanat and Ertz in the backfield. You know, they're doing a great job of giving defense different looks, looking very complicated, but you really watch a tape, they're really not that complicated. They're just being creative in the way they're using everybody.
Jay Gruden on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Their defense is a lot better than it was start of the year. Seems like they got some really good players. Frankie Louvu, you look at the back end, I like what they're getting out of Quan Martin at this point. But overall, it hasn't all quite come together the way they were probably hoping for just yet. I mean, if you're saying low scoring, you know, 14-17 kind of game late with a few minutes to go against the Bears, are they good enough to win a game like that at this point?
I think they are against the Bears. I know the Bears have gotten better the last couple of weeks. They put up some points, and Caleb's getting a lot better. He's more comfortable in the pocket, but I still think that they're going through some growing pains as well offensively. So I think they can get some stops. I'm surprised how well the front's playing and stopping the run. You know, Hubbard had a couple of good games coming into this game. He didn't really do anything. They're stopping run. They're playing pretty good defense. Their coverage is getting tighter. Hell, Forbes even had a pick yesterday, didn't he? That's awesome.
Second rookie had a career, pick. Man. I mean,
So they're playing better in the back end. They're getting more confident. You can just feel the confident level. I know they're not playing great teams, but you still have to produce on field to get confidence and gain momentum moving on to your next opponent. I think that's what they have right now. They're flying to the football. They're getting good rush. Louvu's doing a good job playing on the line of scrimmage. He's playing good at linebacker, so they're mixing people up and creating different matches on defense just like they're doing on offense.
Feels like this weekend, and just football at large here, Jay, starting Thursday even, it feels like there were more blowouts this weekend than we're used to seeing. It almost feels like almost every game comes down to one possession, even if a team comes in, on the way to a top five pick going up against the 5-0 team or something. But there were a number of double-digit runaway victories this weekend. What do you think that was?
I don't know. Maybe the teams aren't very good. There weren't many. I can't remember the ones you're talking about. Houston was a good game. Detroit was a great game. You know, Cleveland, Cincinnati, probably Cincinnati is just, or Cleveland's just a dumpster fire right now. They're awful. New England looked terrible against Jacksonville in London. They had a short trip out there, and Jacksonville stayed a week or two out there, so a little bit of advantage. And then Buffalo pulled away from Tennessee. You know, they just, you know, Tennessee couldn't get out of their own way. But, I don't know. I don't know. I think a lot of times when people get ahead, the other team tries to feel like they had to come back right away instead of sticking with their game plan and become one-dimensional and start turning the ball over, give it up field position and sacks, and it becomes a blowout.
What'd you think of Drake May against the Jaguars, second career start for him?
I'd be happy with his performance, really. Second start, I think he's doing good. I think he's shown a lot of poise in the pocket, toughness, even though they're having to come back and he's having to face stunts and twists and blitzes. He's sticking his foot in the ground and delivering a ball. So I think there's a lot of upside with Drake. Obviously, he's young. He's getting better and better. They just got to play better on defense. They can't let Jacksonville run the ball 17 times and eat up the clock in the game. So they got some issues at New England, but I don't think Drake May is one of them.
That's a badly coached team, by the way. Jerod Mayo is their head coach. He was a position coach. I don't think he was ever really a coordinator because Belichick did so much defensively. But he was kind of the coach in waiting. They didn't really interview anyone outside the building. It just seems like a bad situation where, I don't know, I would not be very confident in him if I was a Patriots fan.
It's weird because last year they were top team against the run, and they got a lot of the same players. I don't know what the hell happened. You know, I don't know. They're coached different, obviously, because the same players they have on the field were number one against the run last year. This year they can't stop a dive up the middle. It's brutal. So a lot of issues going on in New England, but I think quarterback, whoever has that job next year, if it's Mayo, at least they have their future. It's a quarterback position, which is important. They just got to get the defense right.
I think you're a big Brock Purdy guy, aren't you?
I like Brock. I mean, I'm not like he's like the, you know, I'm not as high on him as a lot
right.
of other guys are, but I do like him.
Top five guy in the league. But, you know, I mean, I think you and I are kind of like, you're like me maybe, where I see him as, he's better than he gets credit for the people that think he just is a passenger, basically, but he's probably not a superstar. Is that fair?
Yeah.
He stunk yesterday, 3 picks. I mean, what do you make of San Francisco right now? They're 3-4. They can't beat the Chiefs. We know that. They didn't yesterday. Purdy played poorly. And I don't know. The weapons aren't there, and they just don't look the same.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I know firsthand when your weapons get hurt and you're playing backups. Instead of Deebo Samuel, Juwan Jennings, and Brandon Ayuk, you're playing Chris Conley, Ronnie Bell, and some other rookie from Fresno State. I don't even know. It becomes a lot more difficult to function. However, some teams are doing it. Chiefs are doing it with, you know, a variety of different guys at wide receiver. So you just got to figure it out somehow. I couldn't figure it out, but it's difficult when your star players don't play. With your highest paid players on your offense don't play, it becomes very difficult. That's kind of what happened with San Francisco, McCaffrey to 3 wideouts.
Jay, KC is the only 6-0 team, only undefeated team in the NFL. So if they're not your one seed, you feel free to chime in and say why. But if they're the one seed in the NFL, who's the 2 seed? Who's the second best team chasing Kansas City in your mind right now?
Detroit.
Yeah.
Detroit is awesome. They're awesome. Their offensive line is powerful. They have receivers. They have backs. They got a quarterback that is playing at a level that nobody's seen before. His last 3 weeks have been, he's perfect passer rating 3 games in a row. This is sick. What they're doing on offense is ridiculous. Detroit. And defensively, I hate that they lost Hutchinson. That's going to hurt them in the long run. But offensively, they're going to be able to move the ball on anybody.
How many teams in the NFC, I'll take you through them for the sake of the exercise, but would you say right now are definitively better than Washington? Or you would say, like in a playoff game at this moment, you'd be surprised if the Commanders beat them. It wouldn't be a toss-up. All right, ready? So we'll say Detroit, because you really like them, it sounds like. How about Minnesota?
Yeah, it'd be tough. Their defense is pretty damn good. Didn't look good yesterday, but Minnesota's pretty good, both sides of the ball. Yeah, I'd say Minnesota give them a tough matchup.
All right, so we'll say that they're better than the Commanders. Are the Packers 5-2 better than the Commanders?
That depends on Jordan Love, which Jordan Love is going to show up. I think their defense is pretty damn good, so I'd say right now, yes, but that's close.
Okay, so there's 3. NFC East, Eagles or Cowboys?
None.
Okay.
None.
How about the NFC South, Bucks or the Falcons, who had a tough one yesterday, got blown out by the Seahawks?
Well, the Bucks already beat them, so you got to say the Bucks. And the Bucks, with the experience they have with Todd Bowles and Vita Vea on defense and Levante David, and then, of course, the wideouts, Godwin and Mike Evans and Baker playing the way he's playing. I'd say Bucks right now, but I think that can change if Washington continues to improve on defense. They're going to have to.
All right, so there's 4. And then in the NFC West, Seattle, San Francisco, either of those teams?
San Fran, if they get everybody back, yes. Seattle, no. Rams, no. Definitely Cardinals, no. We already beat them. So San Fran on paper, if everybody's healthy, they're a better football team. But right now, with all the injuries, they're not.
So we're saying top five-ish in the NFC. I mean, why can't they win their first playoff game since I was in high school?
Why can't they? They can. I think they can, and they will. I think they're going to have a favorable schedule moving forward. You know, the NFC East, I've mentioned this before. I mean, obviously Dallas will probably play better, but they're not very good on defense. And Dak's not, you know, he just doesn't look the same, and they don't really have a running game. And Philadelphia, Saquon's going to be a major issue. That's the only one I'm really, really worried about. The Giants are really, really struggling. So I think it's between Philadelphia and Washington to win the division. But I think both will go to the playoffs.
Jim, always awesome. Look forward to it every Monday, man. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
That's our guy. Love learning from Jay Gruden each and every Monday at 5 o'clock on Grant and Danny.
On air and on the road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Tedbert Automotive Group, Tedbert Ford and Chantilly in Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Tedbert Chantilly Lincoln, and Tedbert Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Tedbert for Life lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at Tedbert.com.
Are you surprised by how well this offense looked without Daniels and how sharp Marcus Mariota was? We'll get into that next on Grant and Danny on the Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Offensive line, excellent job picking up the stunt by Carolina to give him the time.
Mariota. Tosses. Touchdown. Snagged by Ertz. Commanders pouring it on.
That's Ian Eagle and the CBS broadcast of Sunday's win over the Carolina Panthers. It's just funny to scroll the box scores on the top of NFL.com looking for Washington, Carolina, and to see a 40-7 where the Commanders are the team with the 40. I've been scrolling before and had to find the 40-plus to single digits.
Yeah, I've been 40-7 before. I know what that's like.
Again, three times in 10 seasons before this year, they won by 21 or more. They've done it three times in the last month and change. New territory. Yesterday, they score 40, 30 with Marcus Mariota at quarterback, and they continued to operate at an elite level offensively without Jaden Daniels, without the guy that has changed this entire thing, seemingly. And a lot of people, I feel like, would tell you mostly single-handedly that he makes the line better, true. He makes the backs better, true. He makes the receivers and tight ends better, true, also. Small sample against a terrible defense. And maybe that's the whole point, Danny. But for three quarters plus of Marcus Mariota yesterday, they were the exact same offense. They were the number one scoring offense in the NFL like they've been all year. They were the number one team in scoring differential like they have been all year. They were unstoppable. Mariota's EPA per play yesterday would rank 8th in any quarterback performance of the season. So every quarterback start of the year, there's two in every game. However many games have been played times two, that's how many QB outings there have been. His performance yesterday ranks 8th in EPA per play. Man. It's basically right there with all of the best Jaden Daniels performances. This is a career backup, essentially, who started off a little rocky in his first series.
So we have this this thing that we do, not just you and me, I mean football fans in general. When someone gets relegated to backup duty, we get in our minds that, like, Marcus Mariota stinks. That's not just him, but anybody that's a backup. And that's not the case, right? Now, I know what it looks like over 17 weeks. I'm not getting the 8th ranked quarterback in EPA per play. I promise you, if Marcus Mariota started quarterback here for for 17 weeks, he would not be the 8th best quarterback in terms of that ranking. Regression would happen. But in a small sample against a terrible defense, he ran wild and was awesome.
Right, and just to be clear, I think you understand, but someone might not. It's not to say he ranks 8th among quarterbacks in the stat. His game, game score. I know you know.
Right.
His game score ranks 8th among all the quarterbacks. So, like, if he has a stinker against the Bears, it's not like he's now 14th. My point is, everyone's played games. 7 quarterbacks have had more statistically impressive outings than Mariota did yesterday. I just think it's a Cliff Kingsbury take a bow day.
It is.
It is a, can we acknowledge this dude's kicking butt and taking names?
Without a doubt.
I think whenever we do that, people view it as some disrespectful thing to Jaden Daniels or, you know, how could you dare not say it's all Daniels? This is a lot Kingsbury, too. Like, this offense is awesome.
Yeah, so the comps I've used previously for excellent rookie quarterbacks, right? The guys that have had these ungodly seasons over the last handful of years. Justin Herbert was ridiculous as a rookie. Ridiculous. Their offense didn't do this. Their offense wouldn't like this. Their offense wouldn't hang in 40 on bad teams per week. They weren't blowing teams out by 30 a game with Justin Herbert slinging it around the yard. That was as impressive a throwing rookie season as I have ever seen. You know, whenever you watch him, he's doing something, you go, oh my God, that's jaw-dropping. Go back to Stroud last year. Excellent. Nobody's saying he wasn't excellent, but it was, the offense wasn't like this. It can be both things, and you know what? It happens to be. You get an excellent quarterback with all the future in the world, and a staff led by Kingsbury and company, where they've added, you know, some important pieces, guys like Anthony Lynn, guys like Johnson from Philadelphia. It's kind of this melting pot and this sort of perfect amalgam of philosophy, execution, keeping teams off balance, always a step or two ahead. Even if something goes for little or negative, it now feels like that's actually probably on purpose. They probably just set that up, if not for this week, for 2 weeks, for a month from now, or for later on today, where they'll come back to a certain look. If you go, Daniels could have kept that. Why didn't he keep that not like an RPO, but like a read option keeper, potentially, where, you know, the running back batters in the line for a yard and a half or 3 yards or something like that. Like, oh, he was so open. They know. Everything is, it now seems to have a plan. It's not just, all right, let's try. It's none of that. It's thoughtful. It's all really, really, really well designed and excellently executed.
How much better do you guys feel about this team after the way they played post Daniels getting hurt yesterday? I think that's an interesting question. 800-636-1067. Because I think it's a two-part answer for me. Like, it is such a small sample and it is a terrible opponent. I don't mean that the Panthers as a team are really bad, which they are. I mean that the Panthers as a defense are really bad, which is even more the case. This weekend, here's a good example. They play the Bears on Sunday evening in FedEx Field at 4:25. In that game, whether Jaden Daniels plays or Marcus Mariota plays, I fully expect that their offense will punt more than once. It's going to be a 3 or 4 punt day. There's no such thing, it seems like, for this offense as like a 5 punt day. Punting's down in the NFL anyway because you're starting closer to midfield because people go for more fourth downs across midfield than ever before with aggressiveness because kickers kick more field goals from deeper than they ever have before. So there's just more drives that result in field goal attempts and going for fourth downs and turnover on downs or whatever. So punters are, you know, going from punting whatever it is, 6 times a game to 5, and next year it'll be 4. That's the trend here. But if it's not Daniels and it's Mariota, I think we're going to go, oh, we'll see. You know, Marcus Mariota didn't run the offense as well. And there's some truth to that. Daniels is better. Daniels is a superstar. Daniels is an MVP candidate. But I think if Daniels plays, it'll look similar. It's going to come back to the pack a little bit. But I guess my point is, I just feel a lot better about Kingsbury, that the offensive staff, and every position group outside of quarterback on offense than I did before the game. Seeing how it went without Daniels there is the wand that they wave over everything to just make it better. Oh, of course, Brian Robinson and Austin Eckler are having big seasons. You've got to account for Daniels and read option carrying out his fakes. Obviously, the receivers are all overperforming. Look at all the play extended, nice plays Daniels is making. Yeah, the offensive line grades out top five in pass block win rate and top 10 in run metrics. And, you know, they've been one of the 10 or so best offensive lines in the league. But that's because Daniels gets the ball out really fast. And no, yesterday, Marcus Mariota held the ball second longest of any quarterback, 3.5 seconds. He still wasn't pressured at a top 16 rate in the league.
Mm-hmm.
The line is just good.
Yeah.
They're playing well.
Precisely.
Give them their damn credit.
And they took advantage. And it, it, again, it always sounds like when you point out something else that you're knocking that information or the people in question here. Carolina's defense is atrocious. That group has all but quit. And they were an embarrassment yesterday. And so that's what you should do. Right? Like you did the thing that you're supposed to do. When they can't get past you, you never let up. You're relentless. That again, that's a cultural thing. We talked about it with some of these incredible moments that Zaccheaus away from the play on a huge Austin Eckler run, 60 yards down the field, picking up the fumble. Right? Nick Allegretti recovering that fumble. Otherwise, they don't win the game. These are the sorts of things. There's no let up. There's no, all right, we've done it. You know, even if it's, you know, Billy the backup or a special team Sammy that's in there late, they're all still trying to fly around and make plays. That's a cultural thing. And that word gets thrown around a lot. I don't have a better word than that because every coach uses it. Everybody wants to have it. Well, it seems like they got it. Like this group really does have it here. And there's an amount of buy-in that's taken place where a coach can tell you a million times, if you do X, Y, and Z, we're going to win. If you do X, Y, and Z and you look up and you're down by 30, it's hard to listen to that coach the next time. You know, it's like, I'll do just enough to not get yelled at in the film room on Monday, but there's not the level of buy-in. It's now, if you do X, you do Y, you do Z, you win, and you do and you get sideline laughter. That's a self-sustaining mechanism.
In the same way that it was really impressive and a win for this staff from an optics standpoint, that all week long you were told how good you were and how easily you were going to win, and you came out and did something that never happens here. You handled prosperity, and you even overachieved by the lofty expectations. You're going to win by 15 or 20, and you won by 33. That was an incredible look and a huge and impressive accomplishment for this staff. But so was your starting quarterback going down and the offense playing at an elite level with your backup, looking like it has as the number one offense in the league every step of the way all season long. That's also a really good look on this staff. What did the play of the offense after the injury tell you guys? And what did it make you feel about these coaches, these players around Daniels, and this offense overall? 800-636-1067 is how you can join the conversation on the phones, at Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny on social. You're listening to G&D. Of the hour at 6 o'clock, you'll hear from Jeremy Chinn, safety for the Commanders. I told him in the locker room during our conversation yesterday that they have not shut a team out as an organization since 1991. Think about that. Said you guys were flirting with it, thought you might get it. He was so bummed to hear that it had been since 91.
They would have ran on the parade there, Jeeps.
He felt like they let him off the hook a little bit. Dalton didn't make many plays, but he made this one fall-away throw way down the field to set them up inside the red zone when they eventually would get points on that drive. And that was kind of the moment where you go, okay, they're not going to get the shutout. But if he misses on that throw or they don't convert, then they have to punt or Washington gets the ball back. May well have happened. Can you imagine, though? 40-0 if we were sitting here. Like,
man.
That would have been it. It's funny how 40-7 feels a lot different. But a 40-0 shutout first since 91.
You imagine.
That's like a fuel up the vans we're caravanning all the way to New Orleans. We might have to take two trips.
Goodness gracious.
I hope, I got to talk to Christian tonight, our buddy in New Orleans. He's booking flights and hotels. We're getting everything lined up for our big trip in December. Mm-hmm. We're going to see the Commanders play the Saints.
Do we have to go twice in 2 months?
I got to see if Christian's got a plan developing yet for a February trip right around Valentine's Day. Because we might need some hotels then, too, if you know what I mean. Let's go to the phones and talk to Gabe in Woodbridge on G&D. What'd you make of the fact that their offense was as prolific as it's been all season long with Marcus Mariota at quarterback?
Hey, y'all. I don't know. It just seemed like this was a weird kind of reverse measuring stick in a sense, because I didn't think that, despite like the team being this bad, the Panthers, you know, I didn't think we would have this kind of effect. And then even more so when Jane came out, I was like, it's going to be a struggle. It, now we're just going to get nasty. And like the fact that it was almost seamless. I mean, it was almost seamless. And I think this might have been like his Mariota's best game ever. So the fact that the offense kept rolling, and then it almost seemed like the defense had never let up. Never, even when it was like 34 or 37 nothing, they were still flying around. And then like on special teams, so like all goes back to like this crazy effect Dan Quinn and the staff have had on the team. Like this crazy, like just have totally installed this kind of just fight hard and don't give up and fight for your teammate kind of attitude. So just
the brotherhood thing they talk about, which is one of those phrases that I hear and I just kind of go, it means nothing. It's like in one ear and out the other to me. Like, brotherhood, we love the guy next to us. Brotherhood, brotherhood. Every coach ever has talked about that. Every high school coach ever has talked about, look into the eyes of the man next to you. Everybody touch somebody. Get down on a knee. Everybody touch somebody. We're brothers. We're in this together. Blah, blah, blah. It is such a reality in that locker room with these gladiators who believe in there's a person in front of them addressing them, and either the words out of his mouth are gospel or they're not, and it's just a reality. People like Dan Quinn. They want to play for Dan Quinn. I remember when they hired him, and I was super bummed out about it, most notably because he's a defensive-minded head coach, and I would never in a million years hire a defensive-minded head coach, because offensive coordinators leave, and then you have to find new offensive coordinators, and it just hasn't worked in the league in a long, long time. But I remember someone in the building reaching out to me after the hire, and they're like, listen, dude, they're like, you got to trust me. I get it. I get that this is not the way that it always works in this era. But this is a special human being who is going to build a really good staff, who is going to be beloved by players, and that is almost or more important than anything else. And that's kind of what's happening in front of our eyes. And we'll see where it goes this year and in the years ahead and with Kingsbury staying or leaving and how the offense over years develops, as to whether or not you can actually figure it out, because no one else has been able to. You've taken the road harder traveled. But what you cannot argue, and what I am willing right now to say wholeheartedly, is that everything that they wanted when they hired Dan Quinn, everything that they hoped for, everything they thought they were going to get, is happening at about peak capacity. The staff, check. The player buy-in, check. The brotherhood culture with our backward hats on together, check. Like, it's all checking out right now, Danny, every bit of it.
Yeah, I wanted to add to the caller's point, Grant and Danny right here on The Fan, about the defense. They've had three excellent games, in my mind, right? It depends on how you view the Giants game. But I would say three really good games defensively where they were unfiltered, not concerned, didn't feel threatened, a.k.a. we're not scared of you. And in those games, they had a feeding frenzy. In those games, they're harassing and haranguing ball carriers, quarterbacks, jumping pass routes, etc. You haven't seen that against the two good offenses. Think about Baltimore and then Tampa, and then maybe by to some degree that Giants game. I didn't feel like they had that same energy to swarm. I'm wondering, if you do this enough times where you beat up on some bad opponents, which is what they've done to their credit. I mean, they've dominated Arizona, Cleveland, and Carolina now, right? Those last two are the two best samples, to me at least. I'm wondering if you can convert some of that when you play a good team too. Like, I understand they're going to get theirs. You saw it against Baltimore. Like, a good offense is going to be able to move the ball. They do it to everybody. Chicago of late has been really good. I'm wondering if you maybe now, a couple times you get a couple confidence boosts going against, you know, an organization's fifth starter or seventh starter. You see a couple fastballs. You watch it go over the wall a couple times. Now maybe you get hot. I'm hoping this is kind of a corner turn for the defense.
You'll hear from Jeremy Chin on that defense next on Grant and Danny. We will continue So ask you guys to hop in if you'd like at 800-636-1067. Phones are open. Next category to hit on as well. Don't forget about what is something that happened yesterday that hasn't gotten enough attention that you think is deserving of recognition. Maybe someone who's deserving of praise. Don't forget about on Grant and Danny on a victory Monday. Washington is 5-2, first place in the East, second place in the NFC, and 3-0 at home for the first time in 19 years. Ho hum. The locals are good.